First Timothy chapter number 3. Did you slip and fall or something? So if y'all hear the alarm go off, we'll just stop, let it go, just so you know, if she happens to get a call. It's usually afterwards. Yeah, well, it's usually after is when it comes in, but it does happen quite a lot on Sunday nights. It's usually after church. It has happened once or twice. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're looking at the last part of this chapter here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm looking at these last few verses, verse 14. I'm just going to preach on the operation of the church here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 14. These things write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, amen. If listen, when you battle somebody, challenge somebody on whether Jesus was God, right here you go. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. By the way, that is one of the verses that modern Bibles change. But when I looked on, I don't know if any of y'all men have ever used, there's a website called Blue Letter Bible. And just about every one of them had a footnote, though they changed it. They changed it. Almost every one of them had a footnote that said, this means deity. This means God. And I thought, well, then why are you translating it that way? You're confessing that you're mistranslating that when you put the footnote with it. And you can go in there on Blue Letter Bible. It's really good. If you're looking at a verse and you want to know, if it's changed, that Blue Letter Bible, there's like 10 or 12 different Bibles that they use, that they have on there. And so when I'm looking to see whether something's been changed, and especially somebody told me this one, I did not know this one until recently, and I looked it up, and sure enough, on that Blue Letter Bible, the NSAB, the NIV, I think the New King James kept it the same, but most other modern Bibles change that right there away from God. They'll put, I think, Christ, they'll put Lord, but then I have a little footnote that says, well, this is actually, and I'm like, well, why didn't you put it that way then? Because, you know why? Because the devil's going to try to bring the Jehovah's Witnesses and all these false religions together, and with their modern Bibles, that's how they're going to be able to do so. Father, we thank you for the day now. I pray for your help as I preach and teach tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The operation of the church, this is a very important verse here that Paul has given Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. I was born in 1982. I was raised under a dad that loved me enough, brothers, that my dad loved me enough to teach me manners, to discipline me. He taught me how to behave in public. But we're in a day and hour when people don't know how to do that. And Paul has told Timothy, I've written to you so that people know how to behave themselves. We go to restaurants, you go to airplanes, and people have no idea how to behave themselves. I'm thankful that God knew 2,000 years in the future that the people would not know how to behave themselves. And God has given us His Word. God's given us an example so that people would know. He has set the pattern down. Why? Because there are people that will come in our day and time. And I love people, and we're trying our best. But people will come in, they'll sit down, they'll get up. They'll get up, sit up, get up, and sit down, get up, and sit down. We have a lot of people that they'll get up 3 or 4 times sometimes. And I understand, if you're sick or if you have an issue, older folks sometimes have issues, they'll get up, young folk, to go to the bathroom 2 or 3 times while the preaching's going on. People don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. And God has given us just a short pattern just in this book. And now there's many other places we could go to, but I'm not going to go to them tonight. But Paul tells us in chapter number 2, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that's why we open up in prayer. We're trying to pray for people. We're trying to pray for Rush County. We're trying to pray. I pray for the individual towns. I pray for Liebenthal. I pray for La Crosse. I pray for McCracken and Bison and Otis and Rush Center and Timken and Alexander. We pray for these towns because we are to try to make intercession for all men and for those that don't like us and those that hate us. And part of the thing that the house of God is behaving ourselves is that all things are to be done decent and in order.
Amen.
Years ago, we had a couple that had been with us from the beginning that were there in the Bible study. She's Catholic, he's Lutheran. He didn't want anything to do with Catholicism, and he, you know, begged me, and that, you know, and we prayed for them, and I still pray for them. I still talk to them quite often. But they started actually coming to the church when we first opened the church. But we had another man that came, and one Tuesday night, he stood up at the end of service and basically opened rebuked me because I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he fully rejects it. Unfortunately, he was the only one in this entire town that claimed to be a Baptist. Wow. And yet he rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. And that couple saw that, and they came to me, and they said, I'm sorry, that you know, because we were new in town, and that somebody in this town acted that way. And they said, he should have never done that. He had no business standing up at the end of service like that on Tuesday night and doing that. And it wasn't long after that they quit coming to church. And they've never been back. Going almost 6 years, getting close to 6 years since they stopped coming. It would have been about August or September when that happened, and they quit coming. Why? Because somebody else didn't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. I believe they were ashamed. Like I said, they came up and apologized for this man that they weren't related to him. They didn't even have the same background. They're Lutheran Catholic. This man claimed to be a Baptist and yet stood up and caused a ruckus in the house of God. People need to know how to make how to behave themselves in the house of God. But the problem is a lot of this, that's why you know that a lot of these people, it's not of God, because if it was of God, if you didn't believe what the man of God was saying, you would either meet with him privately, or if he's so far gone, you should just leave and go somewhere else. But people don't do that. Why? Because they want it to be about them. They want their teaching to be about them and what they believe. One of the things Brother Shepherd made sure that I understood, and it's not been easy, is these people, you're not joining to them, they're joining to you. And don't lower your standards and don't compromise on what the Word of God says to allow these people. If they're going to come in, they need to agree with what you have set down. And that's why we even already have a constitution drawn up for people that have asked. So that we can say, here's our standards, this is what we believe. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine. I'm not saying that everybody that comes here has to join this church.
Right, come on.
I'm in the day at 43, I'm at the point, and I believe vast majority of people shouldn't be joining the church because they don't agree with what the Constitution says. And hey, if you want to come, and you're going to come and get fed, you want to come to the house of God, and boy, I know you ain't doing what you're doing right now. They want to be members, but they want the church to lower their standards to them. They want the church to accept what they believe, not what the church stands on. And so I believe that everybody doesn't necessarily have to be a member. I know that a lot of older men come generation where they want to get everybody to be baptized and join the church. But I'm not to that point because of the fact that where we're at, that I've seen such a variety. My wife years ago was dealing with a Catholic lady here. She lives up here in Leventhal. We love her. We've been a testimony to her. This is a Catholic lady, raised in a Catholic church. And my wife asked her one day, said, what do you believe about heaven and how to get to heaven? And she said, well, I believe that when you die, God's going to give you three chances to accept him. My wife said, that's not what the Catholics believe. She said, I know, but that's what I believe. Uh-huh. You'd be surprised if you go through some of your churches what some people believe.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, we need a membership. We need people that'll vote and to be able to establish things and have Sunday school teachers and those things. But we got to be very careful that in our day and hour, there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing that come in. They don't believe what we believe. Matter of fact, the church my wife and I got saved in right before I started going there, the pastor, and honestly, and I love him, but in my mind, I think he should have done a little bit better. But that's me, and I still love him. But he had a youth pastor right before I got into church, like 3 months before I got into church, he had the youth pastor. He was a young, charismatic man. Him and his wife had a great big house. They had all the youth come to their house, brothers, spend the night.
Right.
I'm talking about the same time. And I was told by people that were there that was all kinds of wicked stuff going on. But this man had done an Absalom behind the pastor's back, and when the pastor churched him, half the church left with him. The majority of the youth left because of it. We got to be very careful who we allow to be there. And so God has set us a pattern in the operation of the church, how people are to behave. He goes on, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And that's what we're to do. Our life is not to cause a ruckus. Our life is not to be able to point at us. It's supposed to be pointing at the Lord. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved. I don't know what the Calvinists do with that. Who would have all men to be saved? I don't know where, I know, I'm not sure. I know several men from Kentucky and in Kentucky. But as far as I know, brother, all in Kentucky means the same thing in Kansas as it does in North Carolina. It means everyone. God would have everyone to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am an ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. And so he goes on, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Amen. There's nothing wrong when we're something good's going on, without wrath and doubting. We don't need wrath in the church.
No.
We don't need people that are, we don't need preachers even that are to the point that they're purposely trying to drive people out. Now, if you got a wolf in the church, that's different. But some men act like they're trying to drive half the church out or just for the fun of it sometimes. You can't help people that are at the house.
Right.
In like manner, also that women adore themselves in modest apparel. We still believe in standards. Men and women ought to look different. They ought to be separate in their dress. They ought to dress right. Women ought to be adorned in modest apparel. And we've gotten both sides of that. I remember when we first moved here and we were fixing up the church. And I'm trying to think now. I think it's this lady here across the street and the lady down the road down here. Both of them came to me and said, "Man, I noticed that your daughters dress very modestly. Man, that is so awesome." I remember years ago I worked with a man. He was raised in Pentecostal, and his daughter had reached teenage years, and she wore the short shorts. And he said, "What do I do?" And I told him, I said, "Ron, it's too late. You should have started the standards back there when she was a child.
Right.
Instead of waiting till she started to develop." See, that's why I wait till she starts to develop. No, that's too late. The Bible says that we're to dress ourselves in modest apparel. I believe that according to the Bible, the thighs nakedness. I believe when Peter's out there on the boat, the Bible says that he was naked and he put a coat on. He wasn't, his legs wasn't, what was he naked? He didn't have a coat on, no shirt on. So his nakedness is from your neck to your knee. You ought to be covered up, because that doesn't belong to you. You belong to the Lord. And if you're married, your nakedness belongs to your spouse.
Amen.
Amen.
And on top of that, some of these people, I don't understand what in the world they're thinking. Ain't nobody want to see that. Okay. God has laid down a pattern for the way that we're to dress. He's laid down a pattern for the way that we're supposed to pray and go to the Lord for these things. Yeah. And then he goes on. He says he's also laid down a pattern here for the way that things are to be taught. Women adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Listen, they're not to be trying to draw attention to themselves, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. God has also set down a pattern that men are to be the teachers in the church. People don't like that in our day and time. But God says here, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence while in the church. Some men would take that too far and say, "Well, Now, woman, you ain't supposed to talk at the house. That's not what it's saying in the church. And it has to do with teaching. I don't believe there's anything wrong, or else we couldn't have choirs with women in them. We couldn't have women get up in special singing. It has to do with the teaching of the Word of God. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority. They're not to be in authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. God has laid down a pattern for the things, for how it's to operate. And as Paul told Timothy, how thou oughtest to behave thyself. Then number two, in that verse right there, after he says how you're supposed to behave yourself, so he's laid down the pattern, but also he's told us the possession. In the next part of that, he says, which is the church of the living God. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to any pastor. We are stewards of God's word. And in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to go over to Titus because he didn't write it necessarily here, but he says this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The bishop then is to be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. But in Titus, Paul says, and I believe it's inspired, I believe God wants it. Verse 7, the bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. God is telling us here that it is not the pastor, it's not his possession. We're just stewards. I've been saved for almost 25 years, and I've heard, and some of them, brother, I believe just rumors. I think that people will make up all kinds of stuff, and so I just try not to believe some of it because
they'll do it.
I've heard, now maybe you know, brother, and I hope you're not like this. If you are, I'm not trying to pinch you. But I've heard people claim that they know preachers that'll make you give them your W-2 at the end of the year so they make sure that you have it.
Oh, my God.
I've heard that, and I've never seen that. If somebody was that way, I would advise you to please leave that church. That is somebody that's not being a steward.
No.
If the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God can't get you to give properly,
Come on.
Me checking your W-2 is the work. Ain't gonna work. Not my mind. I've heard other stories and other rumors and some of this mess. I got a questionnaire, brother, one time. I know that, look, we can sit down all day. We're not going to agree on anything. I understand that. I love my pastor. He's been my pastor for 10 years. We don't agree on everything. I got a questionnaire one time from a church in Arkansas. I didn't even pay attention. I saw how many questions it was. I sent it to a preacher. I sent it to a preacher friend of mine. He's had a brother, Ron Beatty. You know, Brother Beatty? He's in Winston-Salem. He's had a brother, Beatty. I sent it to him because he was praying. He said he's been praying before about being a church planter. He's a black preacher. I love him. He's got four good boys that are raised in church, as far as I know. Unless something's changed since we've been here, all four of them still serving God. And he was praying about being a church planter himself. And I sent him this questionnaire, and I said, here, brother, I want you to see some things you're going to go through. 120 questions. I didn't read through it. When I sit down and gossip with you, I'm just like, no, you're just being ridiculous. I understand if you want some standards. I'm all for that. I asked a few questions to the missionaries that we asked. He called me up and he said, brother, did you realize it took till question 80 before he started asking doctrinal questions?
Yeah.
The first 70-some questions was all about what you wear, TV, whether your kid's outside the home. I hope and pray that all my children uphold the standards. I really do. But when they leave my home, there's nothing I can do.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
But they had that on there, and I thought, man, you're being way over. Yeah. Boy, when you're asking about the people, I went back and read a few of them, and then I just, but yeah, he asked, the kids outside of your home, do they uphold these standards? And listen, those people with those kinds of things, my wife and I have seen it personally. There was a couple that we know, they're in Montana right now. She wore pants because she got an amputation. She wore pants. I don't believe it. My wife does it. My kids don't. She wore pants only because of the mission board she went through advised her that she needed to wear skirts and dresses.
Come on.
That was it. That's the only reason. Right?
I'm glad they're there. I'm glad they want to plant a church, but be honest, we could not listen. You know, I know some of you men know Macedonia. I'm not against them. Macedonia does not allow facial hair. That's why I did not go through a mission board. You know, several mission boards did not allow facial hair. My wife, I didn't marry a mission board. I married my wife. My wife likes a beard. If you don't like one, that's completely fine. That is your choice. Macedonia does not. I know several Macedonian missionaries on the field. Once they got to the field, they regrew their facial hair. That's hypocrisy is what that is. And if they got enough, if you got enough nerve to put that as your standard. Now, they may have changed it in the last couple of years, but that was their standard. And I know of two or three right now I can name that when they got to the mission field. I know one right now, and I'm not trying to be mean to somebody. My wife had tattoos before she got saved, and I'm not trying to be mean to people with tattoos, but we asked for pictures of all our missionaries. We did something similar at Fundamental, but we put with the prayer letters. We wanted pictures up of all the missionaries. On their prayer card is the exact same picture. This brother's in a t-shirt with no tattoo. The exact same picture they sent us, he's got a tattoo. They airbrushed that tattoo out for his prayer cards. They should have just wore long sleeves.
Yeah.
I know you're ashamed of it because obviously you were. You airbrushed it out of your prayer card.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they sent us the same picture to hang up at our church, there he was with his tattoo on his arm because he was wearing a t-shirt, a polo, or a button-up shirt. I'm not against it. I know some people, brother said he wears long sleeves all the time. My grandpa did too. Praise God, I wear short sleeves. I don't have any tattoos. I'm not against you. My wife's got them before she got saved. I'm against those that actually claim to get saved.
You're right. Amen.
But there's no standards. People don't know how to behave themselves. People don't know. Listen, we gotta learn that we are not lords over God's heritage. This is God's possession. He owns it.
Come on.
Yeah.
But we do need to, I believe, in being a standard across the board. I believe that there's things that in our day and time that some men do this. There's some that you know, I'm not against it. I believe in having some standards, but I also believe that a mission board is supposed to be there to help the pastor. If he's got a big church, he can't handle it, especially as we even talked to a man years ago. We were in a missions conference in Virginia, and that man was giving us an example. He had a missionary in Japan that died unexpectedly, and he was able to have another missionary couple there with that wife to comfort her, whereas a pastor would not have been able to do what he was able to do. Plus, with the transfer of currency and stuff like that, now maybe some can and some cannot, but I'm not against mission boards. I believe they definitely serve their purpose for the right things. We just chose not to go through them. Because I believe the authority is in the local church, the pastor. But we're not to be lords over these people. People that, I ran into this again. There were churches that, we're through our local church. And that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted missionaries through the local church. But because our home church supports church missionaries through mission boards, they would support us. And I'm like, you're being a lord over God's heritage. God, I believe in having standards. I believe they ought to line up doctrinally for the most part.
Right.
Again, we're going to agree on some different things. I remember I was in church up in Nebraska. The brother's retired now. As far as I know, as long as he ain't passed away, he's over here at the church in Gillsboro now. He's retired and come down here. Brother Shepherd knows him. But I got up from the pulpit. I don't remember why, but I said something about, I don't believe that cats, animals have souls. But, you never know. I don't know what God's got prepared for us. Well, that was enough. That's all I really said. I just said, my children understand. I believe that, I've got some animals that I love, but I know they have no souls. But then, I don't know, God says, man, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered the heart of man. The things God has prepared, we don't know necessarily what it's going to be like, what's over there. But I know they don't have an eternal soul.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that was enough. And Brother Howard came to me. He said, "Brother boy, you just caused a problem." I said, "I'm sorry, brother." He said, "There's been a man in his church. He's been trying to tell this man's cat. He loved this cat. And he believed, he's just sure this man's cat's going to be in heaven."
No.
And sure enough, as soon as Brother Howard, Jordan Howard walked off, here come that man. I don't know. I don't know. I've heard different things. I've heard preachers say that I believe I'll know my wife in heaven. I don't know that. I don't know that I believe that. Because there's no marriage in heaven. I don't know to what extent that we're going to know. Because let's say this brother right here, both his parents are saved, and he's over there knows them, and he's rejoicing with them. And this brother right here, none of his parents are lost and dying to hell. He's got nobody. We're going to know that. That's why I don't necessarily think I don't know. So we can agree on some. There's some things there that, you know, people say, well, there is a gray area. We don't know. That's why I try to tell when I'm saying something that I don't know 100% from the Bible, I say, this is what I believe. Yes. And you are free to believe whatever you want to.
Right. That's right.
But I believe there's some men out here that they don't understand that God is the one that possesses. This is the church of the living God, not the church of Brother So-and-so.
Yeah. Come on.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
They're going to have to give an account. We have to give an account for the way that we rule churches and the way that we treat people and the things that we do. And here he is telling people here, listen, not only how you're supposed to behave in the house of God, but I want you to understand that this is not your possession. It's God's possession. It is the church of the living God. He has purchased it with his own blood. Then number three. Not only a pattern that he set down, how we're supposed to behave ourselves, and the possession, that's what I just kind of hit on a little bit now, is the principles. He says here, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's not our truth, their truth, it's the truth. There are certain principles as fundamentalists that we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe in the Word of God, that God has inspired and preserved His precious Word. And if you don't believe that, I can't fellowship with you. If you don't believe that we have a Bible for English-speaking people that God has inspired and preserved, and it is inerrant Word of God, I don't know that I can fellowship with somebody like that. Number two, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. If you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, you are denying who He was. That's you're right. Denying the deity of Jesus Christ. And on top of that, by saying He's not God in the flesh, you are saying that He is a man, and a man cannot die for me.
Come on, preacher.
Right.
He took the precious blood, the spotless blood, spotless Lamb of God to die for our sins. Yeah. If He's not God, He's a man, and we're all still in our sins.
That's right.
And we're walking in life.
Right.
That's why it's important that grave was empty.
Yeah.
Not because they stole the body, but because He resurrected from the grave.
That's right.
That's why that grave is important, because that showed us that He was God. Not only that is the deity, but the virgin birth. I have to hold to that virgin birth. If He's not born of a virgin, that's another thing, Owen. In modern Bibles, sit back, buddy. There's another thing. In modern Bibles, you go and read in Isaiah. Is it? I think it's 7:14. It says, "Behold, a young lady shall be with child." That's not a prophecy. That happens every day. The prophecy is, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child."
Right.
You can't believe the virgin birth. I can't. And the virgin birth. The Word of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, and the blood atonement. When you reject the blood, I cannot have fellowship with somebody that rejects the blood.
No.
When you read that Bible, the Bible says we're justified by His blood. We're sanctified by the blood. Yeah. We're saved by the blood. We're purchased by the blood. By His blood, we can have boldness to enter into the holy place. I don't know how anybody can read that book and deny the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a principle by which we stand on.
Amen.
Amen.
And then, last of all, the salvation is by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. People cannot stand on those pillars. If they cannot stand for that Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not for sprinkling baptism. I'm not for some of these other things. But if you definitely cannot stand on that blood atonement, the sacrificial lamb of a God, if you can't stand on faith by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, the Word of God and the virgin, I cannot have fellowship with you.
Yeah. You're right, preacher.
Come on. I believe God gives different churches different ministries. Yeah. Some men may have a burden to start a men's home. or a woman's home, or a kid's home. Not everybody has that. God gives everybody different things. We don't have to. He is the one that possesses it. He's the one that guides us. He's given us principles to live by. And as long as we stay within those principles of the Word of God, here's what he says in chapter 1, verses 3 through 20. Here's what he says. He says, "And as I beseech thee to abide in Ephesus, I went into Macedonia that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." We're not to teach other doctrine than what appears in this Bible. That's why I cannot believe in praying to saints. It's not found in this Bible.
No.
That's why I cannot believe bowing down before Mary. It's not found in this Bible.
Right.
Matter of fact, when upsets a lot of people when Mary is dealing with Jesus at the marriage of Canaan, he says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He didn't call her mother. He addressed her like he would somebody else.
Right.
"Woman, what have I to do with thee? My time's not yet come. What are you trying to get? What do you want me to do?" He addressed her just like anybody else. Why? Because, listen, I believe that she had to be the vessel that God used. I believe she was a chosen vessel, but she was a sinner just like you and I. Because the book of Luke, as we just talked about, the birth of Jesus Christ, after Jesus was born, they went to Jerusalem. What did she have to do? She had to offer sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every other woman did.
Right.
She had to offer sacrifice because that's what the law commanded.
Yeah.
She's a sinner just like we are, saved by grace. By faith in Jesus Christ. Goes on, he said, to teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved aside, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Maybe we put that on the church sign for some of these. They desire to teach the law, but they don't understand what they're actually saying. What they're trying to do, neither understand they what they say, nor what whereof they affirm. They think, "Well, you need to go back under the law. You got to go to Sabbath worship, and you got to do this, you got to do that." The Jews couldn't keep the Sabbath. What makes you think a bunch of Gentile dogs is going to be able to do it?
Come on.
Right. Nobody could.
Right.
He's given us principles to live by. He's told us as a Gentile church, he's laid down. We got a lot of people here, brother. Brother Joe knows. We got a lot of people that I'm talking about, that said they don't eat pork. I had a lady the other day that cuts my hair. She said, "I don't eat that. That's unclean." You don't know your Bible. I'm sorry.
Right.
If you did, you'd understand what statement you just made is not. It is contrary to sound doctrine. God's given us all meat. That is for us to eat. And if you choose not to, that's fine. If you choose not to, because pork does raise your blood pressure and there's some other things with it. There's where we're from, it's a lot of barbecue restaurants. And a few years back, one of them that we were raised on, they had a bad salmonella outbreak. They got like 200 customers sick because somebody cross-contaminated because of that. I can understand. Okay, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. If you want to avoid it, that's fine. But that's my comfort animal. That's my comfort animal. My bacon is my comfort animal, man. I like bacon.
Me too.
And that's okay. And I've said before from this pulpit, you can ask them, if we had somebody in here that offended them, then we just would not eat pork here. If that's what it took to be able to have somebody not offend somebody, then so be it.
Well, he said.
That's what Paul talks about. You know, if it, then eat at the house.
This is my brother.
I'm not going to offend my brother because of it. But if you expect me as the pastor to just sit around and eat nothing but salad, you're crazy. That was before the flood, when God designed us before the flood. After the flood, God said, "Listen, you're going to eat meat." And I ain't never seen one healthy-looking vegan or vegetarian. That's personal. He says not only that, desiring to be teachers, but he says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." And so he does give us principles. We're to use the law lawfully. We are to use it according to the Word of God. We are to, it is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The church up here, one of the churches up here in Hayes, we had a couple that visited with us several years ago, and I wish they would have come back. Unfortunately, they're divorced now, but they got out of church, and and all, but he told me that, or they told us that they left the church up there because the pastor got up from the pulpit and said that we don't need the Old Testament, we don't need the law, and therefore he's not going to preach out of it. You know what? He doesn't understand what the Word of God says. Right. You're supposed to use the law if a man use it lawfully. But I'm not to bring you back under the bondage of the law. The law is good. It's your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ.
Right.
And we need the law. We need it taught. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Paul said, in case I missed anything. You ever seen those people? Well, is this a sin? Is this wrong? Is that a sin? Brother Goldsby said at our church several years ago, he said, I got tired of people saying that. And he said, I just ask them this, is it holy? The Bible says, God said, be holy for I am holy. Is what you're doing holy?
What he said.
And that's what he's just, is it holy? Is the kind of music you listen to holy? Yeah. If God come back right now and that trumpet blew, would God be pleased? Or would you be pleased with God catching you listening to that kind of music, watching that kind of movie? Anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God. Amen. I'm glad he's the only wise God.
Amen.
Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou hold that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We need these principles. We need these doctrines to be able to be in. We're in a warfare. It's not a warfare of carnal. It's a spiritual warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have putting away concerning faith. Have made shipwreck, of whom these are. And I'll go over last of all now. Not only do we have a pattern here of how we're to behave ourselves, we have possession, which God, the living God, controls and possesses this church and the church. But then number three, the principles. We're to be the ground, the pillar and ground of truth. When everybody else is running to error, when everybody else is running away from the Word of God, we're supposed to be even more dedicated to this word. We are, not us, but the Word of God, the church is, to be the pillar and ground of the truth. No ifs, ands, or buts. Then last of all, he says here in this, in verse 16, I'm finishing with it. Here's our purpose. Here's our purpose in verse 16. We are supposed to be telling about Jesus, that he is God in the flesh, that he was, great as the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's our purpose. He goes on here in chapter 4, in verse 6, he tells us, If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. Don't say, some people take that, well, man, I don't ever have to work out. I've been trying to go to the gym. I realize how weak my body's got because I don't work like I used to. As an electrician, I was brought up. My family was brought up. We cut wood. We had an old wood stove. And I was brought up, man, we spent, I'm not exaggerating, you ask my dad if he was here, we spent Christmas Day before cutting and splitting wood. We were brought up working. Exercise does profit, but it don't profit like what godliness can.
Right.
What godliness can do in our life. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. That's our purpose, because we have trusted in God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. If that one verse in over here didn't do it, I don't know how this one right here. He says he is the Savior of all men, but especially to those that have actually believed.
Right.
What do Calvinists do with that? He is the Savior of all men. God, he is the Savior of all men, but especially of those that believe. If you're not, you believe, he is the Savior of you, but not only of you, but of all those out there that are lost. He died for them as well. He loved them enough. And that's why we're here trying to plant a church. That's why these men are here trying to be a witness and inviting people and witnessing to people. That's why we're all working together for the kingdom of God, trying to get people in church to try to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Yeah. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. He didn't say to the believers, of the believer. Here's the example you're supposed to be. This is how all believers are supposed to be. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Of the believer. This is the way we're supposed to live. And I preached a series out of those, every one of those things a while back. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. God's given us a purpose.
Amen.
God's given us. Listen, at times I do get discouraged. But then at other times I think, man, what great. We got a field wide unto harvest. I know it's hard sometimes trying to convince religious people that they're lost, but it's not my job to convince them. That's where we forget. Our job is to proclaim. Our job is to preach. Our job is to go out and give them the Word of God, give them the Scriptures, and tell them about a gospel, tell them the gospel, and tell them about the love of God, and then it's on them to make the decision.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's our purpose.
Exactly right.
I can't win anybody to Christ. Only God can. Paul said, I planted, Paulus watered, but God giveth the increase. That's why I can't go along with that quick prayerism. I can't win. Listen, I can give them the gospel. I can present it to them, but it takes the Holy Spirit of God convicting them, drawing them to that place. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And that is the honest truth.
Amen.
Man, 24 and a half years now, it gets better and better every day, and gooder
Amen.
All the time. I love it, man. I'm excited because every passing day, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, man, who's that old man staring back at me? But I know with every passing day, we are getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And God has given us, for the operation of the church, He has given us a purpose. And our purpose is, for one, is to refresh the saints and to help the saints get when they come in wounded and hurt, to help them know how to live right. But then it's also to go out into this world and proclaim to them a God that loves them enough, that died for them, shed His precious blood, because they're sinners on the road to hell.
Yeah.
And that's our purpose. And I'm thankful that we've all thought. Listen, a lot of times we think, man, I'm the one that won this person to the Lord.
No, you didn't.
No.
Come on.
We all working together.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think about, there's been times, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, my life's saved because of me, but long before I ever came along, her dad had already planted a seed.
Yeah,
for the man that I talked about earlier, that I walked around my boss's man for 12 years before he got saved. It wasn't until after he got saved that I found out his mom went to gospel at Baptist Church for all them years and been there praying for her son to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Long before I ever got there. 12 years I've known, his mama's been in church praying that somebody be a witness.
Come on.
Hey, long before we, sometimes people ever come, there's somebody praying for somebody. There's somebody praying for that purpose, for that person. We're all working. Sometimes people get better. Hey, I've won all these. No, listen, there's a lot of people working behind the scenes.
That's right.
I'm trying to think. There was somebody I was reading about. Oh, man. Maybe it was Percy Ray. No, it was somebody else I was reading about. It was a man. He said that the reason that he knew that he was able to win, see so many people come to the same knowledge of Jesus Christ, was because of the people that was praying. That church, and I don't remember now who it was.
Amen.
But I know the person Ray was one of them. He talked about the men and women in his church that prayed for him and prayed for the ministry. It was somebody recently I was reading something about, and they talked about the same thing, and they felt like the power, the reason they had the touch of God, the power of God in their life, was the people that were there praying at that church for them. I told them people, we tell the nursing home, like y'all think, well, we're confined to a nursing home. You can pray for this word.
Amen.
You can pray for this man right here. I'll take every bit I can get.
Amen.
I got $5. I need all the prayers I can get.
Yeah.
I mean, you have $1 and 2 cents, is what you said.
Yeah.
I got five, isn't it, man? You got five.
32 grandkids.
32 grandkids. Amen. Y'all got to beat that. He only had three. Now, six of y'all. So y'all got to beat that, okay? You can't count me. Shh. You can't keep counting me with the kids. I know I act like one, but you can't keep counting. God is telling us, listen, the operation of this church, it is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
It has principles we're to stand on, and it has given us a purpose. Amen. God has, a lot of times we love those verses in Ephesians as Baptists. For by grace you say through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we stop there at Ephesians 2:8-9. What does he say after that? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's given every one of you a purpose. If you're not, you're saved. He has given you a purpose. That's when James is talking about works, he's not talking about working yourself to be saved. He's saying, because I am saved, I've got a lost world out here that needs to see the truth, needs to see somebody real. And you may be that person.
Yep. That's right.
You may be that person that can show people the purpose of this church. Show the reason that Jesus died. There's people I've said, Brother Joe, that Brother Joe comes in contact with, I'm not going to come in contact with, but he will. There's people I know that my wife has definitely come in contact with that I hadn't. She had the opportunity just Thursday. Had a long opportunity. Spent 4 or 5 hours with that lady right 2 blocks from here that has no religious affiliation, doesn't know anything about God, anything about the Bible. And so my wife is taking her time trying to get her explained to her.
Amen.
I'm not rushing her into something. My wife's not going to rush her into something. We want to take our time and tell her the purpose and tell her the principles we stand on as a church.
Amen.
This is because we want this place to be a pillar and ground of truth in the Word of God. And that truth is Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Yes.
According to the Scriptures.
Amen.
He was buried 3 days and rose again that third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And if you don't know Him tonight as your Savior, you can if you'll come to this altar and call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe it. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting somebody and drawing somebody to that place, they say, well, I don't know. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit of God is working on you, and you realize you're a sinner, you realize you're going to split hell wide open, I believe that's conviction, and it's just a matter of you being honest with God. And I say, you know, I've heard men say, but I don't say it's a prayer. I don't know if it's a prayer or not. All I know is if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus,
yes,
and get honest before God, God will save you.
Yeah.
That goes for my children tonight as well. When y'all don't know Jesus is your Savior, listen, don't, because you've made a profession, don't stick with it. If God's dealing with you, you need to be saved. You need to be honest. You be honest. I'd rather you make 100 professions and go to heaven with me than die and go to hell after making one.
Yeah.
Let's stand tonight. Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And Lord, that it is that God has given us, you have given us a way to operate this thing, to reach people, Lord, through missions, through preaching, through door knocking, through visitation, through being a witness unto the lost, to preaching to a lost and dying world. May we not take that for granted. Lord, if there's anyone tonight that is not saved, may they come tonight.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.